coming to us from 1 Samuel. And we're just going to capture the last section against the backdrop of the beginning of the chapter. Let us give attention to the reading of God's holy word. My reading may be slightly different from what you have. Just bear with me. From verse 21. And the man Elkanah and all his family went up to offer to the Lord Yahweh the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow as well. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him that he may stand in the presence of the Lord of hosts and abide there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Just do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord of hosts establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. But the child was young. Then they slew the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And then she said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I'm the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord of hosts. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I made to him. Therefore, I have given him over to the Lord as long as he lives. He is given over to the Lord." And they worshiped the Lord there. Father, in the name of our precious Lord Jesus Christ, our priest, our better priest, our King, our Lord, our Redeemer, with the enablement of the Holy Spirit, our instructor, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous truths out of your word. Give us hearts also to hear you and to obey your word, that in all, both preacher and hearer alike, will bring glory to your great name. As we pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. I don't know about you, but parenting is tough, isn't it? How many of you are parents? Just hands up. Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. How many of you really? I'm trying to count. How many? Raise your hand. Keep your hands up. Keep up for my second question. How many of you actually believe that parenting is easy? That's my boy. He doesn't know much about life, so he thinks parenting is easy. No, parenting is not easy. It's challenging. What is the difference between a Christian parent and a worldly parent? There's no difference. I was going to give you a recitation of all the books that have been written about parenting. It's boring. After all that, look at where our country is. Parenting is not easy. And merely becoming a Christian doesn't make you a good parent. You don't believe me? Just read the Bible. David was a man after God's own heart, but he was a lousy parent. Even Samuel himself had children who departed from the Lord. You go to chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, you notice Eli was the moderator of the presbytery. But he was such a weakling and a useless witness for God. So much so that his children had turned the house of God into a cesspool. They were sleeping with the women at church, because that's what the Canaanites did. They did that too. Eli couldn't even address them. He said, kids, what are you doing? You go to verse 25. They didn't obey him. They ignored him. So you see, all these people were supposedly Christians, but they were lousy parents. What was the difference? Why were they not able to bring glory to God? Because the Bible says, whatsoever you do, whether therefore you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. Therefore, parenting must be to the glory of God. I didn't hear amen. But we live in a culture where it is so difficult to be a godly Christian parent. Let me tell you a story. I was in a computer shop. The guy is from Nigeria. And he was sharing with this computer expert how he applied the Board of Education to the derriere of his son. Because that's what Africans do. We are not embarrassed. If I had the courage, I would just show you the back of my back. I have so many marks on my back. And I said, August, so what happened? He said, well, my boy went and told the teacher that I slapped him. So he was supposed to be arraigned in Hyattsville at the family court. So this other guy from Kenya said, do you have a lawyer? And he said, no. He said, I'll be your lawyer. So he asked, are you a lawyer? He said, no, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm an African. So he accompanied him to the court. And sure enough, they asked him, who is this guy? He said, he's my brother. Well, the white judge did not even ask, are you from the same country or family? The fact that they are black, he's my brother, he accepted. And he said, listen to me carefully. Your Honor, this is a very bad boy. He has disgraced our family. He has dishonored us and washed our dirty linen in public. So, Judge, we don't want him. Keep him. Immediately, the boy started crying. No, I'll go with my dad. I'll go with my dad. And he went with his dad. And I said, Aga, why did you do that? He said, easy. I'm an African. This is America. He would never have done that in Nigeria. But here, the kids have license. You just say the wrong word, they go and tell their teacher you are in trouble. So parenting is difficult. It's challenging. We train for everything in this world but parenting. I don't know about you, but Barry, I guarantee you, your parents didn't take you to University of Parenting. They didn't train you. We just grow into it. But then this text also is going to tell us that there was one woman who showed the effectiveness of parenting. Hannah. Why was she able to stand out the way she did while the moderator flopped and failed miserably? It is this insight into Hannah that I want to share with you this morning. I know it's not Mother's Day, but she is my role model. Next after Jesus Christ. See, you may mistake this woman. Hannah is going to give us three ingredients. And mentioning the word ingredient, I'm only encouraging you that as parents and as churches, the scriptures are encouraging us that we can be effective, godly parents, that God can be proud of us. We can. And Hannah says, let me give you three reasons. So we're going to talk about ingredients. Pretend that we are creating chocolate chip cookies. You just don't get up and throw in chocolate
water, flour, egg, sugar, lots of them. And then throw them in, put in the oven. Yeah, I'm getting chocolate. No, no, no. You've got to get the right measurement of each ingredient in the right proportion with the right temperature. And then everybody will be clamoring for your chocolate chip cookies. Now, it's not because I'm hungry. That's why I'm using this metaphor. There are three ingredients. And Hannah is going to give us these ingredients that touch on insight about parenting. Two, your attitude towards parenting. And three, your understanding of the gift of parenting. Let me put it differently. She's going to talk about perspective, commitment, and understanding of your privilege. Let's look at the first principle. If I put it together, you can see here she's addressing the issue of perspective. Parenting is not merely biological. The world has parents. We have Parents' Day and everything. But for the Christian, you must understand the source of parenting. And the source of parenting is not because you are grown up and biologically you are capable. No. But it's because the source is God. Until you come to grips with that, you're going to fail as a godly parent. After all, in this text, you had a woman, Peninnah, let's call her Ruby. She was like Leah. All Elkanah had to do was to look at her and she'll get a baby. That's what she did. She didn't have to pray. But she had baby. And the text tells you that indeed, every year, this godly family will go for sacrifice. And when they went according to custom, presumably, this woman had a lot of babies, so you have to give proportionately. Now, here is Hannah, who is also godly, but Hannah doesn't have a child. The text says God had closed her womb. She was not barren because she caused multiple abortions. The text says God had shut her womb. But she went to church. And church was not fun for Hannah. Oh, I can see Ruby. Anytime they went to church and they were all making the sacrifices, she would pretend, oh, you know, pregnancy is so hard. Teasing her in church. Making life miserable for her in church. A church, a place where they could be comfortable in the presence of God, became a torture chamber for Hannah. Sometimes we do the same thing in the church. People become uncomfortable coming to church. If I go to church and I don't wear this particular dress, or if I don't do this, if I'm not involved in this kind of ministry, then I'm not really a member. I don't like to go to that church. That is the dynamic equivalent of Ruby, of Peninnah. But Hannah did not retreat from the church. She was a very aggravated woman, taunted, harassed, grieved. I didn't want to talk about the husband. This woman was so alone. While they were going through all this, she refused to eat. I can imagine one of the kids of Peninnah asking, Ma, what about Auntie Hannah? Why isn't she eating? Is it because she doesn't like food? Is she watching her weight? No, it's because she doesn't have children. Oh, why? Why? Doesn't she want children? Stop asking those questions. Elkanah was touched. He loved his wife. But then he did something that is so strange. Hannah, why aren't you eating? Am I not more important to you than 10 sons? That's a typical man. He couldn't enter the woman's grief. He had no understanding of what a child would have meant to Hannah. Am I not more important to you than 10 sons? Yeah, right. What an insensitive man. He's not like the men in this room. I know that for a fact. So you see the kind of woman I'm talking about. How did Peninnah get her children? How come I don't have these children? And how come my husband even doesn't understand me? Maybe I should not come to church anymore. That's not what she did. Hannah had a different perspective. Children are not necessarily biologically induced. Children are a blessing from God. Psalm 127, isn't it? The source of children is God. It's God who gives children. Medical help had failed Hannah. Her husband had failed her. Her rival had failed her. But she understood there is a present help in time of need. There is somebody called God who has a track record of faithfulness. And that when you are under the shadow of the Almighty, He will come to your rescue. Hannah prayed because she understood the God who created this world. Listen to how she referred to this God. The Lord of hosts. The ever-resourceful God. That is a perspective. So when you see your children, they go to school and they pick up all this junk from the internet and their teachers and the like. And they come home. I thought that was a catechism boy. How come he's imbibing all this garbage? You're like, just like Hannah. You don't go and fight against the teachers. Go on your knees. Go on your knees. Hannah prayed because she believed in the God who is the source of her blessing. If she would ever have a child, it has to come from God. And when she believed that way, she did not hide. She went directly to God. And she didn't pray the typical Presbyterian prayer. She prayed. She says, I'm pouring out my heart. So look at her heart like a cup, filled with grief, filled with agony, filled with pain. And she emptied all that before God. That's prayer. And God didn't say, wait. How dare you come to my throne room with all this pain? God was not embarrassed about her pain. You see how comfortable she was in the presence of God? That's a real Presbyterian. Not this type. He went straight to God. No pope. Nobody mediating. Went straight. Lord, I am hurting. Not thou art wart west mist. Lord, I'm hurting. I'm in pain. But look at how specific she was in her prayer. Not, oh Lord, just give me somebody so they don't tease me anymore. I want a man child. I'm not asking for the best surgeon in the world. I'm not asking for a famous Hollywood star. I'm asking for somebody, a boy, who would be given back to you forever. You see her perspective? That is the secret of true parenting. Where you understand that the source of parenting is God. And you also understand the sphere of parenting. Whatever God gives you is coming from God. That would change your attitude. I'm daring you, if all of us begin to understand this, things will be different in our country. It will start in our little families. No problem will be too much for us. Let goods and kindreds go. The body they may kill. the truth is settled forever. We have a man called Jesus Christ. That's Hannah. She knew her God. She had a personal relationship with God. So when everything failed, when she was at her wit's end, she went to the only place she knew, to God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Hannah didn't know Jesus Christ as we know him now. But Jesus had already imbued her with his life and made her comfortable in the presence of God. And she could pour out her heart. That is why the book of Hebrews says, a new and a living way has now been provided for us through the veil. That is, through the flesh of Jesus Christ. So now the curtain has been torn apart. We can now go straight to God's bedroom without anxieties, without tears. Do you realize that tears are also a form of prayer? Did you realize that? We don't have to pretend to be when we are in the presence of God. You have to pour out your heart. Don't hide anything. God is not embarrassed. He's not afraid of your problems. He knew the problems before you realized it. You know what I've discovered about this God? I've learned in recent years that when I encounter any difficulty, it's God's special way of inviting me to the boardroom for a discussion. This one hit me so hard. God said, I know that. You didn't know that, but I knew that I was waiting for you to come. So I'm sitting in the boardroom. Come with that burden. And then I show up. Oh, you have taken care of it already. Now I can praise God. Folks, walking with God is an adventure. Hannah discovered that. And that is what is going to make a difference. Perspective. Now let me ask you a question. If you know of a surgeon who I just graduated from medical school, and he has been taught to use this scalpel. I mean, he just loves his knife. And so anytime somebody is under anesthesia, he looks at it and he starts chopping. And you hear about that guy, would you entrust your life to the person? Here is a person who is too excited about the knife. He doesn't have insight. But here is a different surgeon who understands that a person may be under anesthesia. That person is not dead. That person is on anesthesia. The person is still a living being. He has insight. So he doesn't just cut anywhere. He understands that if I make a mistake, that person will die. See, that's what parenting is about. We have to have this fundamental insight about God, that he is the source. Not everybody has a child. Ungodly people have children too. And so when God blesses you with a child, remember, it's a special gift that God has given you. And every day you see them, you glorify God that way. You know, but when you do that, it's not going to be easy. Mother's Hannah aggravated, harassed. She was also mocked. The moderator saw her because she was not uttering physical words. He worked himself up. Go sober up! I guess he had been selling the drink to the woman. So he understood that if anybody is doing that, that means that person is drunk. Put off your drunkenness. He was talking from experience, from a lousy family, until Hannah said, oh, my Lord, don't take me like one of these loose women. I'm pouring out my heart to the Lord. So not everybody understood her. And then God is going to answer her prayer. Let's look at the interesting thing. You look at this woman who has a deep understanding of God. In spite of her rival, Penina, she still went to God. In the church, let us be careful we don't do the work of the devil for him. Let us be careful we don't make life more difficult for others to be Christians. Let's make it easy for others to be Christians. Let's do that. Because we understand who has saved us, who has redeemed us, who has washed us in his blood, and who has clothed us with the garment of Jesus Christ. That's why we call each other brethren. That's a deep understanding of God. I think I have been subjected to a very challenging situation. Sometimes my daughter does something, and I want to apply the Board of Education. One time I actually had two belts, and I said, "You pick your belt." And then God asked me, "How do I deal with you?" That's very unnerving, isn't it? From that day, I see through the actions of my daughter my own relationship with God. It's not comfortable. It's annoying. And I keep saying, if this girl were a boy, it would have been different. She just imitates me. In her crass sinfulness. So the very first verse I taught this child, she was barely 3 years old. It was from the book of Proverbs. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, and the rod of correction will drive it out. She memorized it. We rehearsed it over and over. By the time she was four, she knew this verse inside out. So one day, my brother calls from Canada. And the first verse, the first thing the girl says, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, and the rod of correction will drive it out. What does it profit a man that he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? So my brother says, where is your dad? He said, he's right there. So the girl breaks the phone. He said, Ebreza, what did I do for this little girl to be preaching to me? And I said, she had actually given you the whole gospel. We followed up. Through that, my brother came to know the Lord. Train a child the way he should go. And when he grows up, he will never depart. The storms may come. The challenges may come. Foolish teachers would pump stupid ideas into them. But oh, I tell you, if that child is built on that rock, that child will stand in spite of their teachers. So here is Hannah. She understood God. She went to a resourceful God through the living way. Because she understood that God is the God of our silent tears. God understood her. She wasn't taking it on Penina. And then you notice something happened. We are told immediately the Lord did something else to this woman. The Lord answered her through Eli. When Eli understood that, well, she's not drunk. May the Lord grant you your request. That was God's benediction. Through the mocking moderator. And she went home. Well, first month. Now, ladies, forgive me because I've never been a woman. Although one time I was telling my students that I used to be a woman and they actually believed me. And I went with along. And I told them how difficult it was for me when I was undergoing pregnancy. But what I couldn't stand was my husband sitting under the tree while I'm pregnant. He keeps asking me for food, asking me for that. And I decided I have to change my sex. And I did. We went at this for about 12 minutes until one boy said, guys, cut it out. He's kidding. These were college students. Now, I know I couldn't pull that trick this day and age because we have transgendered people and all that, I will be sued. So I've stopped. Now it's not becoming fun anymore. So first month, Hannah missed her period. Okay. Second month, wait a minute. Third month, Elkanah, it looks like, I'm serious. Fourth month, fifth month, sixth month, now Hannah has pumpkin. How do you think she walked around? She had a deep understanding of God as one who answers prayers. She's pregnant. Who gave her the pregnancy? It was God. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that try to build it. So now here is Hannah. She is pregnant. She has had a child. The question is, what are you going to do with the child? That takes us to verses 21 to 26. Hannah did something that I'm calling principled commitment. See, you can make vows, you can make commitments, and when the prayer is answered, sometimes it's very difficult to honor the commitment, right? So you ask God to give you, if God gives me $100, I'm going to give a tenth. I'm going to give you, God, $10. And then God surprisingly gives you $1,000. Then you pull Ananias on God. That's what Hannah did. So you notice, in this kind of commitment, this is where our passage picks up. Hannah decided to do something about it. She wasn't going to go to church, but she was going to train that little child in his formative years. She was going to take responsibility because she has a commitment to God. And that commitment meant she had to shape this boy. Listen to the boy's name, Shmuel, heard by God. I can see how many times Hannah would walk around, Shmuel. It was not really calling Samuel. She was just reminding herself, how great thou art, how great thou art. She started singing everywhere. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the well thy hands have. And I can see Penina. I see the stars. I hear the roaring thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sinks my soul. My Savior got to thee. How great thou art. You don't think she sang like a real Presbyterian? How great thou art. A prayer answering God. That dredged up all the juices of commitment in her. If this God has answered my prayer, it is my responsibility to show loyalty and faithfulness to this God. And on any account, I will make sure that this boy walks in the way of the Lord. 3 years. You notice the nice agreement they had together as a couple. She was not one of these liberals who rebelled against the husband. They talked about it. Elkanah understood and allowed her to train the child. What did she teach this boy? You know how they tell us that even when a woman is pregnant, when you keep singing to the child, for some reason it has impact? Samuel, you are dealing with a faithful God. Whatever you do, don't you ever forget that he's a prayer-answering God. He's a real God, not a theological God sitting in a seminary, but a real practical God who hears, who sees the afflictions of his people, and he comes to their rescue. He's a present help in time of need. All this had impact on this little boy. I call it commitment. You see, our world has come to a point now we have to create Christian schools. It didn't used to be that way. It is necessary to have Christian schools. But sometimes, parents, we hide behind Christian academies. Your job, number one job, is to train your child in the home. Let me ask you a question. How do you think baby cow learns from mother cow? Does she go to University of Chewing Grass? No. She learns by watching and mimicking mother cow. Do you see mother cow sitting there? And the little child, all of a sudden, she becomes a pro at it. Why would you expect your children to be praying when you don't have any time to pray? You ask your children to be reading the Bible. You don't have any time. Or did they teach you Bible verses in the school? But you have never taught your child a single verse. No, not Hannah. Hannah pumped the word of God into her baby. That's commitment. Because God gave me that child. And my goodness, I have to make sure I put him in the path of righteousness. And he will never depart from it. So you see, he understood that. And she also understood that. And they trained. Now here is the million-dollar question. Here comes the moment of truth. 3 years have passed. What are you going to do? Hannah does not renegotiate the contract. Hannah continues the principled commitment. And she does something startling. We are told they slew the bull and they brought the child to Eli. And then he said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, I am the very woman who stood here in your presence praying to the Lord." She followed through on her commitment. She is going to give away her only child, her best child. That's commitment. That's loyalty. Once you understand who God is, it's easy then to respond in faithfulness and loyalty and commitment. If you don't understand who God is, it's going to take forever and a lot of pulling and dragging of feet and whatnot to get you to do the right thing. I wanted to go back to, because it's been such a long time since I got married, and so I'm not a pro at it as these young couples. You know how they are dying? I mean, they just are so excited. You know, 5 years ago, they got married, and it's almost like, "Oh, honey, 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 honey." Very soon, you're going to run out of honey. Why did you call me that? Why did you call me that? I mean, why you used to say, "Honey, honey, honey, honey." Now, it's almost like sour grape, sour grape, sour grape. But look at the excitement that you have. Look at the excitement. Just go back and look at why you were able to do the kind of things you did. I remember when one time I tried to date a girl. Don't let me go into details. My car was like Sanford's garage. But on that day, when we were going to go out to on Charles Street, I took that car to a car wash, Lock Raven, clean it up. I did all that. So why haven't I been doing that before this particular day? Because I had joyful anticipation. I'm going to go with this girl to this place. Ask me, where did it end? Nowhere. But look at the excitement. It's this excitement I'm appealing to you. Please, because God is who he is, a prayer-answering God, all-resourceful God, who is committed to you, let's get excited about him in raising our kids. Don't see your kids as a chore. Oh, sometimes they are a pain. I know what I'm talking about. I have been a pain to my mother. I know that. I know that. But now understand, it's always an exciting challenge to train them on behalf of God. So here is Hannah, committed to her vows. They went and they sacrificed. What baffles me in this text is where they are taking this child. To Shiloh, we are told. After 3 years, he said, she brought the offering to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. That's not where I would have taken the boy. This priceless, special boy, I would never have taken him to Shiloh. Because Shiloh is a cesspool, isn't it? Look at what Eli's sons were doing there. And that's where she's taking this child? Hannah, can you be that irresponsible? Not for Hannah. I gave the child to the Lord. She took her hands off this child. I was in a church where people who were giving to the church now were trying to determine what or how the money should be used. So I told them, did you give it to God? Then leave God to use it. If you didn't give it to God, then you have a right. The moment you leave that money in that plate, you must take your hands off. Get your hands off. That's what Hannah did. Because she's committed to the Lord. She sent the boy to the cesspool. Why? She also believed in a God who could steal this boy's heart against all the abuses at Shiloh. That's a mother talking now. That's a mother. She's so confident in her relationship to God, she was not afraid to send this boy back to that place. Let me introduce something else in this text. So she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, although the boy was only a child. She didn't avoid the place, but her commitment led her to take the boy to that place. Now here comes the main thrust, verses 27 to 28. Let me call it sanctified awareness of your privilege. I know who God is, all resourceful, the source of parenting. I know my commitment as a recipient of God's grace. I know all that. I must be faithful. But now here comes the most important segment. I must understand that whatever I do is a privilege. That's where we lose God. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Look at what Hannah did. She came and she said, boss, you understand who I am, right? As you live, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this particular child, I asked. And the Lord of hosts granted me my petition. I can see her pointing to the boy. For this boy, I asked. And the Lord granted me my petition, which I asked of him. You see how many times she's using the word ask, sha'al? I asked, he granted, I asked of him. Therefore, what is it therefore? Think about it. This is what God did. God answered my prayer. Therefore, I have handed him over to the Lord. Not I will hand him over to the Lord. I have already handed him over to the Lord. I deliberately translated it that way because in some of your translations, I've lent him to the Lord. Wait, You lend something to someone when you have absolute control over that thing, isn't it? If I go outside there and I see a car there, and then I call brother, one of the brothers, and I said, I lend you that car. You know what they call it? Stealing. Hannah doesn't own the child. In her prayer, she said, if you grant me a man child, I will give that man child back to you. If you give, I give. My giving is contingent on your giving. So it's not a matter of I have lent him to the Lord. I have caused him to be given to the Lord. Hannah is simply saying, giving to God is a privilege. That is the secret of even every Christian ministry. To understand that whether I'm singing, whether I'm preaching, whether I'm playing, whether I'm giving money, no matter what I'm doing, it's a privilege. God doesn't need your money. But oh, if you understand that all that we have comes from him. There is an old hymn in the Methodist hymn book. We give thee by thine own, whatever the gifts may be. All that we have is thine alone. A trust, O Lord, from thee. That child is a trust from God. That's a privilege. It changes your whole attitude towards ministry. Otherwise, it can be boring. It can be difficult. It can be so heart-wrenching. But once you understand, I'm doing it for God because God has enabled me, God has honored me, God has privileged me, then you give yourself completely to doing that. But notice what Hannah did as well. Hannah gave voluntarily. She understood it was a privilege. Her attitude, there was an attitudinal adjustment. She changed her attitude. She's going to lose this boy forever. But why should I be discouraged when it is God who gave that child to me? It's almost like the same Abrahamic faith, isn't it? The same thing Abraham did. Abraham, take your only child, Isaac, go and sacrifice him. I know Abraham did not talk to Sarah. I know that. There is no way he would have told Sarah, I'm going to kill your boy tomorrow. Sarah would have said, go and take your boy, Ishmael. So the text says he got up early morning and they went. And then, oh, that most difficult verse, when that little boy asked the question, Dad, I see the wood. I see this, I see that. But where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Unless you have a very cold, icy heart, that question would have been sufficient to unnerve you. But he got courage and said, the Lord will provide. When he knew he was going to kill the boy. And God didn't say, we are playing a game. No. He allowed Abraham, the old man, to bind the boy and put the boy on the altar. And then he grabbed the knife and ready to kill the boy. It is at that point of resignation that God said, don't kill the boy. When you give voluntarily, willingly, God leads you to a point of resignation. And it is at that point that you can hear that voice, don't kill that child. That's what Hannah did. She just gave the boy back to God. When you continue reading, you will notice Hannah had a few more children. I call them fringe benefits. That is our God. He gives, and you can never outgive God given. He gives and gives and gives. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. So why are we tight-fisted with God? I was in a church just last week in Ghana. They were making appeals for funds. Because kids, it's a Presbyterian church, by the way. They have to go for some retreat, and they were raising funds for that. My heart sank. And this pastor would get up and say, how many people are prepared to give 100? Just get up. And you get one or two. 50. Because this is what the world does now. And then you go. I was, at this point, I'm so angry. So when I got up to preach, I told them, God doesn't need your money. You don't think God can cause a fish to spew out money? Why do we make God into a pauper? All the resources of this world belong to our God. Teach the people the right understanding of this God. When God has your heart, He will have your wallet. It's because He doesn't have our hearts. And all we have is our wallet. So now there is a tug of war. I told them, I dare you. I defy you. My God is not poor. Just like that, money flowed. Why? This is what the charismatics do. God is a pauper. You've got to, hey, look, you have a problem. You want a job, right? Just put this, sign this card. Do this. No, my God is rich. My God is resourceful. If I don't have it, and God knows that I need it, He will answer that prayer. If we have this attitude, our church will be different. We will tell the world, we don't have to play games with God. He gave His only begotten Son for us. How dare we assume that He would abandon us? No, He would never leave us nor forsake us. Yes, Hannah gave willingly. That is why Paul puts it bluntly. Don't use guilt manipulation. All you have to do is give hilariously or give with hilarity. What do you have that you did not receive? I am God who gives you the power to make money. I mean, imagine if this church understood this principle. One of the charges that was leveled against me was that I don't preach about money. And so half the church left. I said, make my day. So make my day. You are too arrogant. You don't preach about money. Blah, blah, blah. And meanwhile, they had planned secretly. They wanted to. At that time, our numbers had risen to about 250. We were meeting a school in Silver Spring. And so the elders decided to go and buy a warehouse without my knowledge. So I asked them, who is going to pay for it? Oh, we will have fundraisers. I said, no, God did not send me here to build. He sent me here to build lives. You are too arrogant. You don't preach about tithes. You don't preach about this. And the biggest donor in the church left with his cronies. the first week, I looked at the offering. Why did I say what I said? Then 3 months later, I got a call from a Baptist church in Glen Burnie to go and preach for them. Their pastor had died. I buried that man, by the way. And for all these months, they had not had communion. They said I should come and give them communion, preach for them. I said, I can't because our times conflict. Oh, pastor, we will change our times for you. At that point, I asked somebody from High Street to go and preach for me in my church, and then I went down to Glen Burnie. I preached. I gave them communion. Then they said, pastor, you got to call a congregational meeting. I said, no, you've broken the rule. You should have told me ahead of time what you had in mind. But I also understood they didn't have a pastor for all these months. So I said, okay, what is the agenda? The first person stood up. Pastor, we feel led by God to give you this property. You are as dazed as I am. I was standing there. I didn't know what to say. I didn't even say thank you. And I said, what did you just say? We feel led by God to give you this property. So they went and collected the church documents, the deed, everything. They had burned their mortgage in 1992. What is it? 2.1 acres with a church property on it. Said, here is it. What are you going to do with it? I said, I don't know, because I never prayed about this. So I go back to my church. I have the deed in hand. And in our church, we started a practice, silly practice, to be sure. Every first of the month, we have church dinner. Broke the church into different groups so that this week, your group is going to provide dinner. And that particular Sunday, come and see them. Bickering. Every time it's our turn, we provide turkey, this, but when it's your turn, you only provide hot dogs. And they were fighting. I sat in the chair crying, tears. Because remember, I have the deed in my pocket. They didn't know about it. And so I asked them. I pulled it out. I gave it to one of the treasurer, actually. I said, look at it. It had been appraised for $1.8 million. I said, look at it. You're talking about food that goes in and comes out? God gave this for free. You see what I'm telling you? God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your money. It's always a privilege to give to God. Now, those who left, they don't know how to come back. I said, it's not my church. You are free to come anytime you want. Folks, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hannah is teaching me a lot. Understand God. Make the right commitment based on your understanding of God. And then change your heart to see that he could have had angels to do all these, but out of his mercy, great mercy, he has lavished grace upon you. Go ahead and love him. You will never be embarrassed. You know the exciting thing about this God? Where do we go from here? Everything starts from Calvary. That's where everything starts. Hannah had a personal relationship. And that personal relationship allowed her to do what she did. And I'm daring you. If you are not just ordinary member, but you seriously take God at his word, grab hold of God. If I would just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Take him at his word. And if you do, you'll be even better than Hannah, because now you know Jesus Christ, who gave himself completely. And he says, go and do likewise. May the Lord be gracious to us and change our hearts to love him deeply, to know him deeply, and to serve him with hilarity. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, subdue our hearts to love you. You've done so much for us. We cannot thank you enough. Open our eyes to see how wonderful, how priceless, how rich, how resourceful you are, and even how you made us comfortable in your presence through Jesus Christ. May you screw your word so tightly in the hearts of those who love you. For Christ's sake, amen.